You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 186 of the Rotten Reviews podcast. Thank you for everyone who stopped by for this episode. If this is your first episode or if this is your 100th episode, whatever it might be, I appreciate you guys come back each and every single week. And I see the listeners growing each and every single week, and I appreciate it so much. I'm glad that you guys actually enjoy listening to me talk about movies, because honestly, like in high school and in school in general, I was never one to get in front of the class and talk to people or do presentations, or enjoy doing presentations, I should say. So the fact that I actually do a weekly podcast, do a weekly YouTube channel, and a bunch of other things all together each and every single week is amazing to me. You know, of course, I have no eyes on me, but you guys are listening to me talk, so it's kind of the same in a sense. But anyways, let's get a little bit of business out ahead of things before we get into today's episode. I just want to say thank you for everyone who's been checking out the artwork on Instagram, on X, Twitter, whatever you might want to call it, Threads. We're still on Threads. I don't really post on it too much, but it's definitely there. So if you guys want to follow me on any social media links, it's going to be at Type and Sign. All links will be down in the description below, but you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, art page. There's the X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. There's Threads, there's TikTok. But the main thing we're pushing and promoting each and every single week is that YouTube channel, where we have the weekly gaming video going up every single Wednesday. We have old episodes of the podcast going up as well. We have various shorts going up and live streams. Been doing a lot of live streams of GTA Online. Going to be getting back into some Fortnite and probably some Fall Guys, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And actually, the last few nights I've been doing just short art streams. I've been getting like 81 views a piece for those. That's pretty cool for me, for like just doing a 20-minute stream and having actual people in talking to me about the artwork and whatnot. That means a lot. So maybe I'll start doing some more art streams as well. I'm just doing them for my cell phone, so maybe at some point in time I get like a nice camera or something set up as well to do them on. But I'm having a lot of fun doing all that stuff. Having a lot of fun doing my Super Mario mashup pieces. I've been doing a lot of wrestling related mashup pieces with the classic Super Mario pose, so definitely go check them out. You can find them on, like I said, on the Instagram, on the X page, on Facebook, or on the actual YouTube shorts and whatnot, and the community posts as well on YouTube. So definitely go check that out, because once we do hit 1,000 subs on the YouTube channel, I'm gonna be giving away some free artwork. Not sure what the subject's gonna be. Probably gonna just pick someone at random and just do whatever they want me to draw. So that's something to look forward to once we hit that 1,000 subs. I'm hoping we're gonna hit it sometime this year. I think we should be able to. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. You know, the year's still early, even though the months seem to be going by like crazy, but it is what it is. But back to the podcast at hand, because that's why you guys are here. You're not here to listen to me talk about my YouTube channel or my art or whatnot. You're here to listen to me talk about some movies, and we got a fun one today. But if this is your first episode, thank you very much for showing up for this one. It's gonna be a fun one. I've watched this movie a couple times before, so it should be a good one. If you guys have this auto down, like saved to download off of Spotify, I appreciate you guys coming back each and every single week. It means a lot to me. But yeah, for all the new listeners out there, I'm going to be talking about this movie from start to finish and hitting all the points in between that catch my interest. So if you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1990, feel free to pause it now and you can watch it on Tubi. You know, you got the ads and whatnot, but it's definitely, you know, we're getting back into Tubi. The new look for the Tubi site, it's a little bit different, but we'll work with it. It's fine. But anyways, I guess we should probably talk about the movie that we're going to be talking about today, which we last week picked a comedy in a crime movie for 1 hour and 37 minutes from 1990. We're watching Cadillac Man, starring Robin Williams, Tim Robbins, and Fran Drescher. So the description as read off of Tubi: a car salesman is sure life couldn't get any worse as he struggles with job pressure, debt to the mob, and a messed up personal life. Well, he is wrong. I had the wild part, because he is wrong though. His day's gonna get much worse, but that's fine. Everything's fine. The director for this one is Roger Donaldson, best known for being the director for 1986 1987's No Way Out, 1984's director for The Bounty. He was also the director for 1995's Species, as well as the director for 2005 The World's Fastest Indian. It's the motorcycle brand. It's not actual like races or anything like that, just so you guys are aware. I don't want any backlash, okay? The writer for this one is Ken Friedman. He's also best known for directing 1987's Made in the USA. He was the writer for 1994's Bad Girls. He was also the writer for 1975's White Line Fever. Very good transport movie. I don't know if I've done it for the podcast yet, but maybe we'll do like a month of transport movies in the summertime sometime. He also apparently was the writer for 6 episodes of a 2004 TV show called The Grid, which I've never even heard of before, but that's okay. I haven't heard of a lot of things, to be honest with you. Of course, the person in the leading role of this movie is Robin Williams. Is best known for movies like Jumanji, Good Morning Vietnam, Patch Adams, Miss Doubtfire. Anyone remember One Hour Photo? That was a really weird movie to watch him in, huh? Right? Anybody else get the grief from that one? Maybe just me. It was just weird to watch him in that, but that's besides the point. He's best known for doing a lot of movies, and he's best known for that very dark adult stand-up humor in his stand-up specials. If you haven't watched them, I'm sure you can find them on YouTube. Go look it up. Then the next person we're going to talk about is Tim Robbins. He's best known for being in Jacob's Ladder, Cadillac Man, of course. Let's see, Shawshank Redemption, Cradle of Rock, River. He's part of Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, which I don't remember him in there at all, but apparently he's in there nonetheless. Then the last person we're going to talk about is Fran Drescher, who's best known for being in 145 episodes of The Nanny, where she was also the writer apparently for that. She's also in UHF, the Weird Al Yankovic parody movie, and she's also Eunice, or the voice for Eunice in Hotel Transylvania. Did I say that right? I don't know. It's been a while, so maybe I might have butchered that. I'm good at butchering names, though. The tagline for this movie is legend, lover, salesman, away with words, away with women, and way over his head. This movie has a score of 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 50% on Metacritic. Apparently, 75% of Google users like this movie. The initial release date was May 18th, 1990. With a box office of $27.6 million American dollars and a budget of $15 million. So that's pretty good. And it's distributed by Orion Pictures. And as I said before, if you guys don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1990, feel free to pause this episode now. Go, fire up your Tubi app, download it. Whatever you gotta do, you go watch the movie, or just sit here, listen to me talk about it, and hopefully I'll describe it good enough that you don't need to watch the movie, or I'll describe it so well that you're like, damn, I just gotta go watch this movie on Tubi right now. And if that's the case, Tubi, you can sponsor me at any point in time, and I'll accept it, just so you're aware. I obviously know that's never gonna happen, ever, probably, because I don't think they sponsor anyone, but that's besides the point. So, get comfy, if you're listening to this late at night, or early in the morning, or if you're at work, keep on working. Get through the day. Hopefully this helps you get through the day. And we're going to get started on the movie right now.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight.
Benz.
300E Benz. Joey O'Brien loves to sell cars.
Mercedes-Benz.
Right now you're probably thinking, hey, this is not the car for me. But with a touch of one button, max headroom.
I'm talking emotional support. Emotional, can you afford that?
Yeah. I'm
gonna make it happen, huh? This emotional thing you want?
And he loves too many women.
Yeah.
You know, when you want something, you gotta go out there, you gotta take it like a shark.
Well, maybe that's how I should take you from underneath.
Oh.
Why'd I ever leave you, Tina?
You were asked to leave. Do you remember why?
Now. He has a little explaining to do.
I wanna know how many times you did Don. And I wanna know where, and I wanna know how.
Her too, and my wife, and his wife? How the hell you got time to make a living?
Joey, what's he talking to you, Joey? This is true?
Oh. Come on, Lisa.
Lisa? I knew you was doing a Lisa, Joey.
No. What's that make it for? How many girls you got?
Yeah, Lisa's my daughter.
You got a daughter, Joey. You probably got a wife, too.
No.
Wife?
No wife. No, ex-wife.
He's a busy boy, you're Joey. A very busy boy.
From the diner. Tina. Chuck. Lila. Lola.
Lila. L-I-L-A. Lila.
Lila, listen, there's an explanation for this. There really is.
Ow!
Robin Williams. Tim Robbins.
You got a lot of girls. Easy for you. It ain't easy.
Cadillac Man.
movie starts out with, you know, this catchy tune talking about opportunity and taking, you know, grasp of it, and the intro credits are rolling. It was just like a jazzy little tune that set the mood, set the feeling for the movie. I'm not really sure where the movie's set, but we just see it like a sky view as, you know, the credits are starting, the intro credits are rolling, and we start panning over everything, and then we start panning in on like a graveyard, like cemetery area, and there's a hearse that's holding up traffic because it's got his hood up and there's smoke coming all out of the rad. And then we see Robin Williams' character Joey driving his convertible down, passing all the funeral concessions, I guess. I'm not sure what the proper term is, but then he pulls up in front of him just to see if they need some help, which obviously they do. And then Joey just walks over and says, "Ah, blowing engine, huh?" The guy's like, "Yeah, engine's blowing hell." And then he hands another guy a sales and leasing card, being like, "Yeah, I'm a car salesman, I know, but you're gonna need a new hearse so you can get the bodies to, you know, the funerals, right? We're doing a one-time deal tomorrow if you show up, you know, buyer incentive, come on." He's like, "I'm trying to bury a man, I'm driving by a damn hearse." And then the widow comes up and wonders what's gonna happen, and then the guy who owns, I guess, the funeral home or the hearse or whatnot, he has his mechanic showing up in this rusty truck that's smoking all over the place. He's like, "Yeah, we're just gonna put the casket in there and we're gonna transport it the rest of the way." He's like, "I did not pay $10,000 for my husband to be carted away in a pickup truck." And then we see Robin Williams himself, Joey, helping them take the casket out of the back of the hearse and putting it in the back of the pickup truck. And the whole time he's thinking, like, $10,000 for a funeral, huh? This lady must be loaded, huh? Must have had a lot of money. She probably could use some cheering up at this point in time. Maybe some little bit of pleasure. Maybe she'll want to buy a new car. Maybe I can sell her a new car. This whole time he's like saying this stuff all in his head. He's like, "No, I can't sell a lady a car at her own funeral or her husband's funeral. That's insensitive." And he's like, "Well, actually, no. People think car salesmen are scum of the earth anyway, so I might as well just go for it." And then Joey gives her the card. She's like, "What is this?" "It's my business card." She's like, "You're not trying to sell me a car before my husband gets in the ground?" She's like, "Well, yes, actually, I am." And we see him driving, talking to the camera. He's like, "Yeah, so not every sale works out, but, you know, I gotta keep trying. I feel great. I'm, you know, making somebody happy when I sell them a used car. That's probably a piece of crap, but, you know, it's fine." And then we see Joey going for a meal with his lady in bed. I don't know how much I can say on this on Spotify and stuff, but yeah, he's eating out, he's dining out, and then his girlfriend Joy is like, "Now, honey, look, your commercial is on TV, look, you're in the background somewhere." And then we see Joey showing up to work, where there's this guy Frankie who looks like he's in a hair metal band. He's like, "Hey, look at this new tattoo I got, it's pretty cool, huh?" And it's like, "Ah, it needs a little bit more worms actually and stuff crawling out of it." "Nah, it'd be fine though." I'm not sure if this Frankie kid's like a maintenance guy or a cleaner. And then his boss Jackie's like, "You know, come on, man, you're a little bit late." He's like, no, trust me, I was actually, you know, hustling some people at a funeral. I got a sale coming in tomorrow, don't worry, trust me, selling a hearse, don't worry about it." Then Jackie pulls Joey to the side. He's like, "So, you know, Dad had some people come in to take a look at the company, and we moved to a new location. We gotta actually, you know, downsize the sales floor. So, you know, we're probably gonna have to get rid of you, to be honest with you." That's when Jackie's like, "So, you gotta be back to full force tomorrow. So, you gotta sell a dozen vehicles tomorrow to make my dad want to even keep your ass on the force. Because if you don't, you're going to get fired." And then we see Big Jack coming out. He's got a couple guys. And he said, "Come on, we're going for chopsticks." Because, you know, he's a little bit Chinese racist there. He's taking the sales floor out to Chinese to, I guess, probably break the news to them. And then Helen, the Chinese waitress, is trying to sell Joey on some monkey brain. He's like, "Ah, you still got some cash?" He's like, no, the monkey brain for you because you need it. I'm breaking for lunch and going back to work. Apparently the company motto is nobody gets out alive if they don't sell cars. And we have Joey stressing out as he's driving his Cadillac or convertible, whatever. I don't even know what it is. I wasn't really paying too much attention. But he's stressing out because he's going to go shopping with Joey, where he should be at work trying to sell cars to make, you know, more money for the company, more money for himself for commission, and to save his ass at work. But he can't say no to a woman because he's like, if a woman's happy, it gives me the chance of hopefully getting some and being happy as well. And then we see them in a store. It's kind of like a fancy antique shop of some sort, and Joey sees something that she really likes, and Joey sees the receipt or paperwork for it. He's like, "Ha, $3,000, huh? So you got this for a steal of a deal probably, huh? Somewhere. Can I see the invoice to see how much you actually charge for it?" And the store clerk's like, "Sir, really? Really?" And then we see Joey and Joy in the car, and Joy's getting pissed off at him because he's like, "Honey, I can't believe you tried to sell him a used car." And he's like, "What are you What are you complaining about? I save us $1,000. Then we see them stuck in rush hour traffic of some sort, and he's freaking out, honking the horn. He's like, honey, honey, you can't be honking the car horn. You're going to stress out our little dog. He's like, I'm going to be late for work, and my job's on the line, so I need to get out of this goddamn traffic. Then we see Joey showing up to this big fancy house, and it's a Tony guy. And apparently Tony sounds like he might be a mafia guy of some sort, and Joey's looking at his watch. He's like, oh, I'm really late. Carmine will save my ass, though. So he knocks on the door, gets let in. He's like, so where's Carmen? He had a hunting accident, apparently. The big, you know, body bouncer looking guy says at the front door. Then we see Joey and Tony sitting down. He's like, Tony, so you didn't come here to ask for me for more money, right? I'm not your personal bank here. We go way back, but you know you gotta stop borrowing money from me. So then Joey's like, so I just need a little bit. And I promise I won't make you wait too long to get repaid. I promise. I'm not gonna make you wait too long. And then we find out Frankie, the hair metal looking guy that's working at the car dealership, is actually Tony's son, and apparently Joey's the one that helped get him the job on the weekends or whatever time it might be. And then we see Joey pulling into a driveway, and he's like, all right, so no wisecracks, no fighting with the wife. Correction, ex-wife, no fighting with the ex-wife. Let's just get in there, you know, back in the good mood and take care of business and see my kid. Before he walks into the house, he's like, ah, maybe she's seeing somebody, maybe I shouldn't go in there. He's like, she is a pretty good working girl. And he's like, nah, she's probably not. And then he goes in and we hear some sounds. It sounds like she might be getting it on, but she's actually on this spin bike, just singing, you know, spinning away. And Tina's a little upset. She's like, you know what, Joey? You don't do that. You don't just come over without calling, without ringing the doorbell. You just walk in. You don't even live here. Like, come on, man. You can't be doing this. We find out their daughter's apparently never home because Tina's cooking meals for her, but she's never actually shown up for them. There's all these vitamins. He's like, hey, she can't be eating this kind of stuff. This is like plant food. She needs to be having real food. And then we find out the daughter's actually 15 years old, but she's never home ever. He's like, well, she could be out doing drugs or, you know, having sex or something. We're like, well, we gotta be keeping an eye on her. I gotta know this kind of stuff. And then they start arguing because, you know, Joey's arguing because he's living in two separate rooms that are about the size of her garage, and that she never had a real job, and that she goes on about how she had a catering job. He's like, oh, you whipped up a few logs for your friend's dinner, and that's nothing. So then nowhere, he's like, so how about I just, you know, start putting $500 away a month for, you know, her college fund? And she's like, well, why'd you come over here? He's like, I was just, you know, actually just driving by in the area. I just figured I, you know, stop by. And then as he's leaving, he's talking to himself. He's like, Joey, did you forget why you actually stopped by? So then he tries, you know, he knocks back on the door again. He's like, so, your friend, your brother, you need a car by chance? I'll do a rock bottom deal, you know, just gotta try and move some more product before we move to the new location. And we see Joey back in the car driving, talking to the camera again. He's like, divorce. Things really screwing me over, but, you know, there's one woman that's never screwed me over. One woman that's always been looking out for me. And we see him sitting in that woman's house. It's actually his mother's house that she's making him something to eat. His mom's making him, like, some stew or soup or something. I don't know. It's got a lot of beans in it because he's like, you know, come on, Mom, let's cut down on the beans. I got a date later. And then she's like, why are you so unhappy? He's like, I'm not unhappy. I'm just not hungry, Mom. He's like, don't be bullshitting your mother. And we see Joey driving. It's nighttime now. And little Jack calls him up, being like, so, you got any plans this weekend? He's like, yeah, actually, I'm just going to go see a little lady friend. And, you know, at a different place. And he's like, so, you don't need your pad then, huh? I can take, you know, the secretary lady back to your place and just, you know, get a little fun action in. He's like, yeah, I guess Mikasa Sukasa, right, eh? And then we see Joey hooking up with some other random redhead lady who's looking for her pumps all over the place while she's in lingerie. He's like, ooh, look, Strawberry's landing at home. She's dressing him up because apparently they got this big fancy party that they're going to tonight. And we then see them all fancy and all dressed up getting ready to get into the party. And Joey's trying to sell cars to random people in the crowd waiting to get inside the club that they're going into. We see they're stuck in the crowd because they haven't been let in yet. Apparently her name is Lila and she's an up-and-comer fashion designer of some sort, and the clothes that she's wearing is something that she made herself. It looks a little gaudy, but we're not going to judge it all, right? Lila's all disappointed because, you know, the bouncer's not letting her into the club because he's like, yeah, you're not on the list at all, so just, you know, go leave us alone. So then Joey goes to chase after her and calls her the wrong name. So she's like, well, are you screwing Elisa? He's like, no, the only Lisa I know is the Mona Lisa. You know, I would never. You're the only girl for me, of course. And then we see him back at her apartment, you know, trying to comfort her and cheer her up because, you know, she's all depressed and stuff. And of course he's using his smooth words to make her feel better, pretty much getting in her pants. It's the next day and we see Joey showing up at work. He's in a happy good mood because he got laid the night before, and he's like, take no prisoners, you know, today's the day that we sell 12 cars so we can save our job. And then Frank is at the front, like, cleaning the door. He's like, well, I gotta do this, man. Joey's like, money, do you want money? Get money.
Then we see Joey getting a phone call, and it's Tina. And Tina's, you know, freaking out because their daughter stayed out all night. She didn't come home at all. And she's, you know, freaking out because, you know, she's 15 years old and she's just out there on her own pretty much. We find out that the daughter did call just to say where she was. And he's like, I can't come home. I can't come help you because, you know, if I leave right now, I'm going to lose my job. And I need my job. I need to pay for the bills. I need to afford to, you know, put her in college. And then he hangs up the phone. And then we see, you know, Larry showing up on his motorcycle, just speeding through the car dealership. And Joey's like, hey, come down. That's Donna's man. You know, we can't let anyone know that Donna's sleeping around with pretty much everyone. And he's literally, Larry's sitting on the motorcycle, just revving the engine, you know, screaming for Donna to come outside. Then we have Donna and Larry fighting in the parking lot because Larry's like, Donna, what are you doing working on a Sunday? Like, you work almost every single night. You work till 2 o'clock in the morning. I know something's going on. Whose dick are you on? He's like, I'm not standing around for this anymore. And then he speeds away. And then as Larry drives away, Joey yells over, Jackie, you're all clear. You can come out of the backseat of that car and stop hiding like a little bitch. He's like, I was just checking out the backseat to make sure the fabric and the materials, everything's good. Then we have Joey dealing with a customer. He's like, I know what you kind of guys are. You're just these and liars and stuff. I'm trying to upsell me. I don't want something like this. We see the guy trying to get into the Ferrari, but he's way too big. And the wife's like, how's it feel, dear? That fits good. If I could just turn around and face the steering wheel. And then we see, you know, Joey dealing with various customers for real today, trying to make those 12 sales that he needs. We see him getting, like, speeding through the parking lot as he's got a client driving the car. And he's like, wow, you're quite the driver. So Ray signed that deal, and the driver's like, I'm actually not too sure yet, to be honest. Then we see the phone going off again, and it's actually Lila trying to call for Joey because now she's in some issues of some sort. And he's like, I can't leave work. I gotta try and sell the cars. I gotta sell the cars if I want to employed. And then there's like another senior salesman in there. He's like, I'm not selling any more cars if you don't promise me a deal, you know, a spot at the new dealership, because there's no point in me selling more cars and making you more money if you're not going to give me a job. Apparently Lila's wanting $5,000 for something. I'm not sure what it was, but he's like, hi, yeah, I gotta go. I gotta make that $5,000 for you, right? Because you're worth it. You're definitely worth it. I gotta go sell some cars now. And then we actually see the guy that he gave the business card to from the Hearst situation at the beginning of the movie walk in and be like, oh, excuse me. Yeah, help me. You know, gave me your business card. And the guy from the funeral is like, you're not looking too good. He's like, it's been a really long day so far, to be honest with you, and it's only about noon. Then the phone rings again, and it's for Joey again, and it's Tina again. She's like, you know, she's still not back home. You know, I just don't know what to do. I'm just standing here waiting around the phone. I don't want to leave in case she tries to call for help. I don't know where she is. And Tina starts, you know, ribbing him a little bit. He's like, yeah, I do sound stressed. You know what? My day's been shit. I gotta sell 7 more cars. I gotta make $5,000 more. My daughter's missing somewhere. I don't know where she is. I'm just having a really hard day at this point in time. And guess what? Now my fling Joy is showing up with her actual money bag man or whatever it might be. And he starts freaking out. He's like, Joy, please don't do this to me. Please don't do this. Please go away, Joy. Please go away and take your rich man away, please. And we find out that Joey apparently put Mr. Munchak, the rich guy that's with Joy, in his car that he's driving about 5 years ago. And that's probably as long as the fling's been going on between him and Joy, because he's a ladies' man. We have Joy freaking out because, you know, we got Joy and her man wants to buy Joy a new car. Joy's like, so you're willing to continue our business and service us? And then there's a foreign couple that are like, Joey, you're going to sell us this car because I'm getting ready to walk out. And then there's a guy from the funeral home who's getting ready to leave as well because he's tired of waiting. And Joey's just freaking out, trying to go from customer to customer, and just starts yelling and telling everyone to F off. And then out of nowhere, Larry drives his motorcycle through the front display window and has an assault rifle of some sort. And he's like, everyone just, you know, sit down or you're going to die. Then we have Larry just shooting the ceiling of the whole place. And he's, you know, crowding everyone together. We see Joey hiding underneath his desk, and Larry just starts kicking. He's like, are you one of them? Are you one of them sleeping with Donna? He's like, no, not me. Not me. No, not me. And Donna starts freaking out on him. He's like, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? He's like, I want to know which one you're cheating on me with. And she just says she's been screwing them all. So then he starts shooting the gun all over the place. We see the old couple trying to escape out the front door. And he's like, no, you guys are staying here as well. You're all part of this now. Larry's apparently didn't think this out because he's like, everyone over there. He's like, actually, no, everyone back. Everyone, hands up in there. Actually,
everyone make it look like nothing's happening here, okay? So the cops don't show up, okay?
So this little dog goes after Larry, and he's like, get away from me, get away from me! And he goes to shoot the dog, but he doesn't know how to shoot this gun at all. So he shoots all over the place, and the dog just runs away. He's like, oh, no, I ran out of bullets. And then Larry starts questioning people. He questions Frankie, and Frankie's like, no, I didn't do anything with your wife. I didn't do anything with her. And Joey sticks up for him. He's like, no, he doesn't do anything. Don't worry about it. And then Joey starts freaking out, and she goes to run over because she starts to cry, and we think she's going to go to Mr. Mudchuck, but she actually runs over to Joey and starts hugging him, crying. And Mudchuck's like, what, have you been sleeping with this man? Have you been sleeping with her car dealer the whole time? And then Joey's like, you know what, I've actually been the one sleeping with Donna, and it's been no one else at all. And we see little Jack just hiding behind one of the divider walls, being like, please don't throw me under the bus. Please don't throw me under the bus. I don't want to die by this crazy man. And Joey's like, you know, it's just me. Just been me doing it the whole time. Nobody else. Trust me. Just been me. And then Larry's like, well, what about all that stuff? So you're saying that she's done everyone. And Joey's like, she's just trying to hurt you, man. She, you know, just trying to make you feel bad. That's all. It's really just been me the whole time. So then Larry's like, so how many times you done her, huh? One time? Two times? 10 times? How many times? He's like, I don't know. I've never really thought about counting, to be honest with you. And Joey's like, so you know what? How about you just let the ladies go? You haven't done anything with Donna, so just let them go. We'll talk as much as you want to talk, okay? And you can kill me afterwards. It doesn't matter. Just let the ladies go. Let them get out of here. Let them be safe, and we'll talk as much as you want to. When Larry was like crazy shooting all over the place, he accidentally shot near Donna, but just grazes her head. And at one point, they thought that she was actually dead on the floor, but then she gets back up, and they both run over to go check on her. And he's like, what are you doing? Get away from her! And then at one point, Larry's like, you know, help her up. And he's like, hey, get your hands off her, though. And then when Joey's helping her up, he's just whispered to her, like, you know, shut up. And then Larry's like, yeah, listen to your boyfriend. And then Donna's like, what? You think I'm fucking Joey? I'm not doing Joey at all. He's like, yeah, Donna, it's your head, your trauma there. You remember? It's just me and you, right? Just me and you. Just, you know, that wound must have hurt your head there, hurt your brain a little bit, huh? And then Joey's like, she's got amnesia. And she's like, what? And Larry's like, what's amnesia? What's that? And then it finally clicks in on Donna's, you know, little peanut brain. She's like, it's just Joey. Nobody else. Just Joey. Nobody else. And then we see the cops finally showing up because they heard all the gun commotion. Either that or Joyce's little dog went and called 911 and called for the officers to show up for help. Either one works, probably. And we see the cops surrounding the dealership, and there's a couple cops hiding behind one car and be like, yeah, there's some crazy dude in there with a gun. He's like, yo, get down. Get cover. He's like, get cover. I'm getting the hell out of here before I get shot, actually, to be honest with you. And Joey's trying to still convince Larry to let the girls go. He's like, come on, let the girls go. You know, they'll just say it's a domestic dispute or something. Maybe tell the cops that you're a no bullshit kind of guy. Maybe they won't just come in here and shoot us all. You know, just saying. So Larry is letting the girls leave, but of course Joey causing some issues. He's like, come on, I don't want to leave, Joey. Joey's like, come on, get out of here. There's nothing left here. We're over. Get out here. Please get the hell out of here. And we see the police coming up full force, SWAT teams and everything, getting like roof cover, getting behind vehicles, getting the SWAT trucks and everything out. And Larry's slowly starting to freak out a little bit more because he's like, I'm going to die. And then on the bullhorn, the police are like, you have no chance of escaping. Please come out and just surrender now or you're going to die. So then Larry grabs Joey and pushes him to like the front opening where the glass is all broken. He's like, tell him to get back. Tell him there's a bomb on my bike and I'm going to blow the whole place up. And the cops are like, we want to know what the bombs are. And he's like, M2 plastic. And Joey's like, M2 plastic? He's like, M2 plastic. He's like, oh my god, it's M2 plastic. And the SWAT team member's like, M2 plastic, what are you talking about? And the SWAT team's like, come on, we want to know what you want. And Joey's like, time out, he doesn't know what he wants right now. And then he comes back, he's like, okay, he wants to know what you guys are. He's like, we're the New York Police Department, what do you think we are? And then Larry's like, you know, tell him I don't want to talk to him. If I do want to talk to him, I'm not going to talk to him out there because it's not safe for me to go out there. So they can call if they want to talk to me because I'm not talking to them out there because I'm just not doing that. And then Joey's like, so do you want to give them their name? He's like, no, I don't want to give them my name. If I give them my name, they're going to know who I am. He's like, smart thinking there, Larry, you're smart. What about Chip? You want to be called Chip? Like, you know, Chip and, Chip sounds like a chipmunk name, to be honest with you. How about Charlie? Charlie sound good there, Larry? Please put the gun away from my back. Bullets come out of that, please. And then we just hear the helicopters and everything, like the news helicopters, police helicopters coming around. And Larry's just holding his gun. He's like, oh, this isn't working out the way I had planned it was going to. And Donna's like, well, how did you think it was going to plan out? You're trying to kill us all. So then Larry starts shooting at the ceiling again. And the SWAT team's like, we're going to rush in. You know, he's shooting. And that's when Larry grabs, I think it's Jack Senior like uses him as a shield and rushes towards the front of the window. And he's shooting the gun all over the place. And he actually shoots like a SWAT member in the kneecap. And correction, is actually in the foot, because then they're back in hiding underneath the desk. And Jack Senior's like, he shot a cop in the foot. And Joey's like, you shot a cop? You shot him in the foot? It's okay though. It's just a foot. You know, it's not going to be that big of a deal. They're probably not going to kill you, I'm sure. And we see all the girls that are free from the hostage situation. They're trying to talk to the news, and they're all arguing over each other because they're talking about Joey and how a wonderful guy he is. And then we see the police officers for the communication line for the terrorist hostage line or whatever you might want to call it. They're setting up their little station inside the Chinese restaurant, which is conveniently across the street from the car dealership. And we see them all just sitting in the car dealership, and the phone's ringing really weird. He's like, man, it's a customer. Larry's like, no, it's cops. See how weird it's ringing? He's like, okay, so maybe it's the cops. But, you know, they can't see you inside the Alice station, so maybe we'll just answer the phone and see what they want. And Larry tells Joey to pick up the phone, so he picks up the phone. He says it's the dealership. He's like, oh, okay, so it is the cops. So you're right, Larry, it is the cop. Then Officer Mason, who's like the negotiation part, he's like, so how's your day going? He's like, well, you know, my day was going fine. You know, I was a little bit stressed out. You know, I thought I might be losing my job, but now I might be losing my life. So yeah, my day's going great, to be honest with you, Mason. And Mason's like, so what's he want? He's like, I don't know what he wants, but let's just you know, give him a little bit of time so we can figure out what's going on here. He's like, we'll give him a minute. He's like, give him a minute. He's gonna kill us all in here if you give him a minute. How about we just, you know, relax? You know, we'll work some time out, figure things out. And Mason's like, okay, fine, we'll give you 50 minutes. And then Joey hangs up and he's like, yeah, goddamn cop asshole. And then we see little Jack staring over at Donna and he's kind of like amazed by her. And then Larry's like, whoa, what's that little bit of the look at? Why are you staring at Donna like that? And then little Jack's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never really ever really touched her that much, to be honest with you. And Joey's like, so Larry, how about that time we have the private talk now in the office or somewhere? You know, we'll keep everyone actually in the office. We'll talk outside the office. You know, we'll figure things out, right, Larry? And then they get locked in the like conference room area. And then little Jack's like, sorry about that, Don. And Don's like, shut up, would you? Shut up, Jack. Just shut up. Then we see Joey and Larry sit down. He's like, so things aren't going too good with you and Donna. He's like, why do you care? You know, you're the one doing her anyways. He's like, I wouldn't be doing anything, you know, if I thought there was, you know, happiness there. I would definitely, you know, stay away from my boundaries. Liar. And we have Joey for some reason trying to be like this down-to-earth, you know, relationship counselor type person that he's really not good at being at all, because, you know, he's sleeping with multiple women all at the same time. We find out that, you know, Larry's been laid off. You know, he's not feeling too good. He's feeling a little bit down on himself because he can't find any work. And then he takes everything that Joey's saying the wrong way. He's like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Guy with no job is like guy with no dick. That's why I can't please Donna, huh? That's why you're doing it for me, huh? And the whole time, Larry and Joey are having their talk, you know, trying to get to know each other a little bit better. We see everyone in the conference room. We see Frankie sitting on the table, and he's pushing, I think, little Jack up into the ceiling to try and escape. And then Larry comes in. He's like, you guys are trying to escape? I thought I could trust you guys. Get him down out of the ceiling right now. I thought we're friends here. And then, of course, we see Lila showing up to the area, and she's trying to push through the crowd and comes up to the police officer. My boyfriend Joey's in there. Joey's in there. I need to get closer so I can see, make sure Joey's okay. And they're like, all right, fine, get a little bit closer. And then one of the officers is like, hey, lady, just calm down. We have the hostage negotiation set up in the Chinese restaurant, and the phone lines are going through. Everything's going to be fine. So then Lila just runs in there, grabs the phone, and starts talking on the phone. The officers start pulling away, and Joey's on the other end of the phone. He's like, shit, this got worse. Now Joey's trying to convince Larry to let some of the people go, especially the people that are just customers there trying to buy a car. And he's like, you know, okay, I'll let a few go, but not him, because he's like a money bag, so we're gonna keep him around just for a little bit of a negotiation purposes. And Munchuk's like, so how about I just give you some stuff, you know, they'll let me out here, and we'll just call it even. I won't press any charges or anything. How about like $25,000? He's like, Larry's like, I know that's bribing and stuff. I'm not gonna take your money, because that's bad. I know that would get me in trouble. And then, you know, a couple of the guys get free and get to, you know, go to the other side with the police officers. And somehow Lila comes running through the the dealership and yelling and screaming for joy. And I don't know how she got past the police. And then Mr. Munchak's like, you're screwing her and my wife and his wife all at the same time. And then Larry's like, wait, you're screwing four people? And he's like, ah, no, Lisa's my daughter. And Lila's like, you got a daughter? You never told me you had a kid at all. And then Lila's like, you know what? I got an explanation for you, Joey. And then she comes right over to him and sacks him. And then Larry's like, you know, get out of here. Just go. Please get out of here. I don't want you a part of this. And then we see Larry and Joey sitting down, and Larry's like, you got a lot of girls. Is it easy for you? And Joey's like, it's not easy at all. It's never been easy, to be honest with you. It's a difficult time. And then we see Lila talking to the news people, and she's talking about her clothing line and how, you know, her ex-boyfriend's in there. And then we see Tina showing up in the background to talk to the police negotiation team, being like, oh, yeah, issues are going to grow. And then we see the mafia guy, Tony DiPino, showing up in his Cadillac limo, being like, yeah, well, one of the hostages in there is this kid, you know, and the officer's like, oh, yeah, come right through. We don't want to die by the mafia people. And then the phone rings, and Joey answers it. He's like, so NYPD want to know if you want anything, Larry. It's a NYPD takeout. He's like, oh, no, nothing right now at the moment. And he responds that back to the officer, Mason. And Mason's like, ah, so your ex-wife Tina's here to talk to you. He's like, my ex-wife Tina, huh? Oh, God, this is getting great. This is a great day. And then Tina's like, you know what, Joey? You put that man on the phone right now. And then Joey's like to Larry, so my ex-wife wants to talk to you. He's like, no, I don't want to talk to her. I really don't want to do that. And then we just hear Tina in the background yelling through the phone, being like, put him on the phone now. And then Tina's telling Larry how that their daughter might be in trouble because she's been out all night. And Larry's feeling really bad about it. He's like, oh, your daughter's been out all night and she might be in trouble? Oh, man, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't know. And then Tina's like, so, Larry, Joey's mom's really upset. She's been watching on the news as well. Can you just tell Joey to give his mom a buzz? You know, that way she knows that he's okay and everything. So she calms down a little bit. And then Larry's like, you know what? You gotta call your mom. You gotta call your mother. You know, you got one mother. You gotta talk to her. You gotta make sure she's okay. Make sure she's happy. And make sure that she knows that you're okay. And Joey's like ringing the phone up, getting the phone number right. He's like, yeah, you're gonna regret this. I told you we shouldn't have done this, but you're never gonna do it. And then the mom finally picks up and she's like, you put that man on the phone right now that's holding you as a hostage. And Larry picks up the phone. He's like, hi. So then Joey's mom starts giving Larry the guilt treatment and being like, you make sure those men all get home safe and sound and that nothing bad happens to them. You promise me that that's gonna happen. And Larry's like, I promise, Miss O'Brien, get home safe. So now Larry's starting to freak out, but he's, you know, pointing the gun to his head. He's like, come on, Larry, you can't be doing that. You're Catholic, right? You're not going to get to go to the nice big pearly gates if you shoot yourself in the head. And then Donna starts, you know, freaking out about it and calls him Uggy because apparently that's a pet name for him. He's like, don't call me Uggy. And then Joey's like, you know what? I got the plan of the century. I got the plan to get you and me out of here safe and sound, and nothing's bad's going to happen to either one of us. And then Joey's like, the first part of the plan, you let everyone go and everyone get out of here safe. And Larry's like, what? And he's like, all right, everyone but me. You know, I'm here with your plan. And Joey's like, so next part of the plan is you cut Donna loose. He's like, no, why am I going to cut Donna loose? I just let all my other hostages go. He's like, you're going to cut Donna loose because you almost killed her once already. See that damage on her head? That was from me, Larry. So, you know, let her go. Just let her be safe. You know, did a lot of damage and we'll repair the issues later in the relationship. And then Donna's like, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. He's like, oh, so you want to stay here and torture me, huh, Donna? He's like, yeah, I want to stay here. And then Larry's like, you know what, Donna, go. You get out of here. I don't want you around here at all. Just go. And then the third part of the deal is Mr. Machuk's going to give Larry any money that he needs as long as Machuk gets out of the dealership in one piece. And Joey's like, all right, you shake his hand. That's a deal. You better not go back on that deal or you're going to be floating down the river, just so you know, Mr. Machuk. He's like, I won't abandon you. I'll give you whatever money you need. We'll get through this all together. Then there was just the two of them, Joey and Larry, just hiding in the dealership together. And Joey's like, the final part of the plan, just the two of us. And Larry starts freaking out at the final part of Joey's plan, because Joey's final stage of the plan is, Larry, you just give up. Just give up. They'll be fine. And Joey's like, you know, you're crazy. You came in here crazy. Love made you crazy. Everything made you crazy. So that's going to be the final stage of the plan, is that you've gone crazy. So you need a mental evaluation. That's why you're all doing this. Joey's like, you know, I'll be there every step of the way with you with the judge and the jury. I'll be there making sure Machuk pays for the lawyer and make sure that everything goes smoothly as planned, and that, you know, love made you go crazy, and that's why you're doing all this, because you're madly in love with this lady who's treating you wrong. So then Joey calls into Mason. He's like, oh, we're coming out, and it's on our own free will. We're just gonna, two guys just walking out, no, nothing to worry about, right? And then Mason's like, all right, we'll play it straight. And then we just see all the SWAT team members getting ready and aiming towards the dealership. So now Joey's like, so Larry, how about you put the gun down so we don't walk outside with the gun? And he's like, you know, the cops aren't gonna, you know, believe me that I'm a real dangerous man. I'm crazy. If I don't have the gun, they're not gonna respect me. And Joey's like, well, the cops are gonna be a little bit uneasy if you come out walking with the gun in hand. So then Larry's like, okay, fine, I'll at least take the clip out and take the bullets out of the clip. That way you don't get hurt, because I see you as a real good friend. And then Joey's like, well, if you see me as a real good friend, maybe you'll get rid of the gun altogether. That way we don't get shot. And Larry's like, you know what, Joey, thanks for talking to me and helping me through this. And Joey's like, you know what, Larry, thank you for simplifying my love life. I really needed that, to be honest with you. And then we see Joey and Larry slowly moving the door, and then everyone's coming out and like, oh, they're coming out. They're getting ready to come out. We gotta suit up. We gotta be ready. We gotta be on our feet, just in case, you know, something happens with the crazy guy. And Joey's like, you know, when we get out there and I tell you to drop the gun, just drop the gun and make sure you keep the gun pointed at me at all times. Like, why are you? He's like, better for you to point the gun at me than at the cop, because they will shoot you. And he's like, that's fair. And then we find out the bomb that's taped to the motorcycle is all just fake. And he's like, yeah, this is just my TV remote. This isn't really a detonation handle thing for a bomb. I'm just playing around with you guys the whole time. And then Joey starts walking a little bit farther away. He's like, come on, Larry, keep up with me. Keep up with me, Larry. And then he turns around and we actually see Larry getting shot a couple times by the roof sniper. And then Joey jumps on top of him. He's like, no, he's fine. He's just a little bit crazy. But he's not dead yet. He's not dead. Then we see Joey getting ripped away by the police officers. And then he's getting in Mason's face. He's like, you lied to me. You told me that he was going to come out and everything's going to be fine. We're not going to get shot at. Then we see Jack Sr. being like, yeah, you got a job for life, you know. Yeah, I just want everyone else to, you know, be on the team too, because you know, I don't want anyone to lose a job. And then the mafia guy comes up. He's like, thanks for keeping my son safe and everything. And then we see Joey just run away to stay with Larry as he's being put on a stretcher and put into the ambulance. And he's like, you're crazy, Larry. Larry, by the way, I never did do Donna, just so you know. It was just a lie the whole time. And Larry's like, what? Then we see Donna jumping into the back of the ambulance with Larry as the doors are shut and the ambulance is driving away. And Joey's just giving the thumbs up, being like, yeah, we're good, right, buddy? And we see Tina fighting her way through the crowd and through the police officers to make her way over to Joey. And Joey's just yelling for Tina. Tina's yelling for Joey. And then they start yelling at each other. And then Tina's like, why are you yelling at me for? And he's like, I don't know. And then they start, you know, having a nice, you know, family hug, I guess. And then we see the daughter showing up out of nowhere. And then she's just standing there watching her parents hug. And then out of nowhere, Tina looks over and notices that there's Lisa, the kid. And we see them having a nice family hug together. And then Joey's putting Tina in the car, you know, saying goodbye to her. And he's like, hey, Tina, you feel like giving an old car salesman a second chance? You know, make over for dinner. You know, try, you know, work things out. And then the Asian waitress comes over. He's like, ah, Joey, no more hanky-panky. You go straight home. Straight home. And then we see Joey getting his Cadillac convertible driving away. He gives Mason one of his business cards, being like, hey, you want a new car? You come back Monday. We'll set you something up. Don't worry about it. And then he just starts driving away, and the credits start to roll, and that's the end of the movie. I gotta say, I really enjoyed this movie a lot. This is like my third or fourth time watching it in the last couple of years. I really like Robin Williams and Tim Robbins together in this duel. I think it's really well done. It's just a sleazy car salesman who's doing a lot of bad things, but at the end of the day, he learns from his wrongs, or hopefully we assume he learns from his wrongs. And I just think it's a fun movie. And out of 10 on the Rotten scale, I'm giving it a solid 6. I think it's good. It's not amazing, but it's still a solid movie, and I definitely enjoy watching it. So hopefully you guys will check it out. Hopefully it's still on Tubi by the time you guys are listening to this. And hopefully you guys enjoyed this review, which brings us to the point where we gotta pick what we're gonna be watching next week.
We will be watching from 2020. It's an indie horror movie, I guess you could call it. It's on Amazon Prime, so that's where I'm gonna be watching. It's an hour and 32 minutes. It's called Butchers. I haven't watched this, so it's going to be first time watch. It was actually recommended by one of the people I stream GTA Online with. I've heard of the movie, I just never gotten around to watching it yet. So we're going to watch it now, and hopefully it's a good one. So you guys still have a little bit of time to go watch on Amazon Prime before I do the next episode. So hopefully you guys will like the movie. Hopefully I'll like the movie, because I don't know at this point in time, because I haven't watched it yet. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. As always, make sure to check out the outro band. My buddies at Blood Opera, Toronto-based horror band. They have a new album out. You can go listen to it on Spotify. You might get lucky and find a store that's actually selling a physical copy of the CD as well. So if you guys can snag that, that's pretty cool. Make sure you tag them in it. They'll love to see the content and love to see and hear about what you guys think about the new CD. So definitely go check that out. You can find them on all things, like I said, Spotify, SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere. And as always, make sure to check out all my social media links down below as well. At Typhon Sign, find me on anything and everything, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Main thing we've been doing is that YouTube channel, pushing that. I've been doing really well with the content, been streaming a lot,
not as much as I would like to. Just been a lot of things going on right now, so trying to get caught up on all the work I need to. So it's been pretty fun, so definitely go check out the YouTube channel. And like I said, once we get 1,000 subs on there, I'm going to be giving away some free artwork. And like I said, we got the weekly gaming video coming out every Wednesday. We got all the episodes of the podcast, we have various shorts, and I've been live streaming on there a lot. I don't have a set schedule yet, but hopefully we'll have one soon. But it's been, you know, 5-6 times a week, so definitely go check that out as well. And as always, if you guys can give the podcast a star review, if you're on Spotify or an Apple review or whatever podcast platform you're listening to, you know, give it a good like or something, or share it. Sharing helps a lot. So yeah, if you could share the podcast, that would mean a lot. And anyway, I'm really tired, so I'm gonna end this podcast here, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.